The following is a presentation of the Treasure Island Baseball Network.
In his playing days, he was known as the Igniter. Now, he's here to kickstart your Sunday Twins fix. It's the Paul Molitor Show.
Well, he's been hitting a mistake a long way. It's fun to watch. There's not a lot of guys who can close on balls like that. It was quite a play. Just a dominant start for him.
The Paul Molitor Show is sponsored by Killabrew Root Beer, made in Minnesota. It's how memories are created and legends are made. Now, here are the hosts of the Paul Molitor Show, Chris Atterbury and Jack Morris.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Paul Molitor Show. And speaking of legends, Jack Morris in studio here at Target Field. I'm Chris Atterbury and, of course, fellow Minnesota-made legend Paul Molitor joining us from the manager's office on the south side of Chicago. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Chris. Jack, how you guys doing?
Good morning.
Well, yeah, to you guys. Beautiful day here in Chicago. Hope it is back home, too.
Sun shining here, sun shining there. You've got 1 week in the books now, and you're sitting at 4-1. You've seen a handful of really clean baseball games. Yesterday, a few little bumps in the road, but you have to overall be pretty pleased with the execution you've seen through week one.
Well, you know, it's the start of a season, and everyone knows the length of the baseball year. And, you know, but coming off of last year, I think everyone was excited to see how we would perform coming out of the gates. And like you said, Chris, we've had some really nice ball games, from starting pitching and defense to some timely hitting, patience at the plate. It's been pretty good. Yesterday, you know, went backwards just a hair, some of our defensive plays and maybe our at-bats in terms of competitiveness. But, yeah, we'll try to find a way to come back today and a first chance to bounce back from a defeat and see if we can win the series here in Chicago.
Paul, it usually takes a lap through your own division to really take a good, hard look at what the other teams have done through the offseason, how they're playing at this time also. It seemed like Kansas City had a totally different look in the first series, and yet your boys played very well. Now you're in Chicago. You've got a better feel for the White Sox right now, or are they a team that you think have changed that much?
Well, they are in a little bit of transition, Jack. There was a lot of talk about how much unloading they were going to do. I think at the end of the day, it wasn't as much as maybe some people had predicted. They still have a nice core of experienced players offensively, and, you know, their rotation can be a little bit dangerous. You know, with the guy pitching today, Quintana, he's one of the best. His name's been tossed around quite a bit. But you do get a better feel as you see these teams. You hear about the moves. You're never quite sure early in the year because some guys don't come out of camp either swinging the bat well or throwing maybe as well as we know that they can. But it's good to see these teams early and we'll get a feel for them.
Speaking of Quintana, I know it's early in the day. You probably haven't had a lot of time to think about your lineup today, but any changes?
Well, I actually have thought about it. You know, coming into the series, you kind of try to plan ahead a little bit, and then you kind of watch things unfold through the course of the first couple games. You know, my feeling today is with Irvin on the mound, I want to try to put my best defense for him behind him. You look at matchups against Quintana. In reality, you know, the lefties seem to do pretty well against him, so we're going to give our lefties a chance off him today, try to spread him out the best we can. And hopefully find a way to score some runs and give Irvin a chance to win another game.
Paul, you talk about putting your best defense behind him, and that really to me has been the backbone of this 4-1 start, has been solid defensive play. Would you agree with that?
I think it's been true. You know, we saw yesterday when we gave him a couple extra outs, it cost us. But, you know, from the outfield play, particularly we saw the other night here, and, you know, our infield's played relatively solid. You know, Dozier's play yesterday, Polanco's done fairly well. He had a little misplay yesterday, got his feet tangled up a little bit. But, you know, we're looking to secure the baseball a little bit better. We know that we, I think, led baseball in errors last year, and they're going to, you know, everyone's going to make errors. We don't expect perfection, but we're trying to tighten up the best way we can.
Paul, we've got one of the most dynamic outfielders in the game right now, Byron Buxton. On a daily basis is out there making web gems, catching the ball all over the place. And yet he still seems to be struggling, at least out of the gate offensively. You know, it's got to be perplexing for you as the manager, you know, crossing your fingers and hoping this kid figures out a way to make contact so he can utilize his speed. And yet what he does defensively, he seems to save a run or two a game. So it's got to be one of those things where you're just trying to be patient and show the fans to be patient.
Well, I think we need patience. A couple of points on that is that, you know, on the defensive side, he's been, you know, at the top of the charts in terms of what he can do to help your team prevent runs. And one thing that he does very well is he's always been able to do that throughout his early career struggles at times at the plate. He's been able to separate his offense from his defense, which gives me confidence to keep him out there. You know, we had a really good September. It's been talked about a lot. The spring training, his at-bats were fairly consistent, and it's just come out of the gate where he didn't get a few hits, get many hits the first few days, and you can see the pressure start to mount. And we talk a lot about our young guys. You know, they're going to progress at different rates. There's going to be some times where they go backwards a tad, and we're trying to be patient. I think for a manager, it's tough to know when they need that mental blow and when to keep running them out there. I think you have to vary it from person to person depending on the makeup and the character of that individual.
Paul Molitor Show, another sunny day in Chicago as the Twins try to claim a series from the White Sox later on this afternoon. We'll take a break, come back more with the Twin Skipper when we return on your home for Twins Baseball. You're listening to the pregame lineup card on the alternative channel, Go 96.3.
This is the Treasure Island Baseball Network.
It's the Paul Molitor Show, brought to you by Killebrew Root Beer, made in Minnesota. How memories are created, legends are made. Twins trying to make some more memories today, hoping to claim a series from the White Sox, as it'll be Irvin Santana and Jose Quintana. Jack Morrison, studio alongside me. We're at Target Field, Paul Molitor in Chicago. And, Paul, Jack's going to get to the hard-hitting inside pitching stuff, but I'm going to ask the real tough questions. You've issued one of these newfangled intentional walks. How did you point at the guy? Did you flash your fingers? Did you have an elaborate dance of some sort? How did that come down for you?
Well, there's been a few adjustments to the rules this year, like there are each and every year, some replay changes. But the intentional walk is something that the commissioner felt was a way to save a little time throughout the course of the season, so it's in play. I'm not a big fan of it. I think that, you know, the guy gets on base without anything happening is a little bit strange, but we're making the adjustments. I just give the four-fingered wiggle, and off he goes. So,
Paul, is there pitch count with those four? I mean, how does that work?
Yeah, I don't know. I think we have to throw that up there in a different color on the stat sheet.
I think next year, if you hit a home run, you don't get to run the bases. We'll save a ton of time. We'll just have you go right back to the
dugout.
What
about a style point?
That's true. As for real pitching conversations, Irvin obviously gave you everything you wanted on opening day, and he did it in classic kind of Irvin fashion. Never too high, never too low, and that's kind of what you want from him, I guess.
Well, he's he's what we want our young guys to watch as far as his temperament, his mound presence. He doesn't get rattled. He had a little bit of a stretch there. We lost a little bit of command, but he minimized it to about six pitches or so. And, you know, he got us deep in the game. So last year, I don't think you can be much more consistent than what he provided for us in terms of start in and start out. So, you know, it's a chance for – I'm glad we got him on the mound today coming off the loss yesterday, and I'm sure he's going to give us every opportunity to try to find a way to win.
Paul, you saw last year Irv really matches up against Kansas City well. He did that in opening day. Had a good, solid spring going against Chicago and their ace today. Do you get the sense that the team has kind of embraced him as the ace and that there's a different feel coming into the clubhouse when he's penciled in the pitch?
Well, when your team's going well, Jack, you feel like that behind anybody who takes them out. But there's no question some people have a little bit more of a feeling factor as you approach the start of a ball game. And Irvin's definitely stepped into that role for our guys.
You know, one thing we've seen also is you had a bullpen with some question marks coming in. When you would use guys, how you would use guys. Paul, every single member of your bullpen has made a positive impact on your club this year, whether it's Presley in the sixth, whether it's Duffy bridging to the ninth inning over two innings, or even yesterday when you get a very short start, only needing to use two guys to get the rest of the ballgame pitched up.
Well, I think that, it's not very often when a manager has an exact set role for all of his guys out there, and we're kind of a work in progress. But I think, like any part of the game, you know, success and positive results breed confidence. I think each guy that comes out there has taken it upon himself to do the job at hand, whatever the situation might be. And you're right. We finally got Tonkin in the game yesterday, and he was able to close out the last two-plus innings for us. Haley, did a nice job yesterday until he ran into a couple of home run balls. But I think it's taken shape well. To be honest with you, Press had a little bit of a rough last 10 days or so of spring training, so we're a little bit at least aware of some of those issues, but, he has stepped up and he's gotten into a couple of games and thrown the ball really well. So overall, it's been a nice, composition out there as far as collectively getting the job done.
Do you think when you look at Tyler Duffy, and you've used him in a couple of different ways, he's pitched out of the bullpen collegiately, a tad bit in the low minors, but this is a transition for him. Is he wired the right way, and does his stuff play well to be an effective guy in the bullpen long term?
Well, I think he's more wired now maybe than he's ever been. I don't think his starting days are over, but for now, if he's rested, I have a chance to get some length. But the other day when we had a couple of guys that needed a little bit of a blow, he was ready to come out and pitch some innings late. And I say he's more equipped now. I just think he's learned how to channel that energy that he brings out there and try to keep it in a positive light. He kind of sometimes becomes his own worst enemy out there. But that seems to be improving, constantly. So he's taken advantage of the opportunities we've given him to make the team and be a bullpen guy. And so far, he's thrown the ball really well in his couple of outings.
We have to step aside. We'll take another break. Come back with more. Jack Morris, and here on the Paul Mahler Show. This is your home for Twins baseball.
Welcome back to the Paul Mahler Show. Jack Morris, Chris Atterbury, and our manager, Paul Mahler, joining us right now. Paul, I was excited to hear that the bullpen got together for a steak dinner, a little camaraderie, a little bonding time. I'm curious, twofold question. Number one, whose idea was it, if you do know? And number two, was Eddie Gordado invited along to really kind of pick up any of the leftovers if there were any?
Well, I'll let them know you said that, first of all. I think last year, Jack, they kind of they had a couple of those. I think they've tried to make it a point to do that more frequently this year. And I agree. I mean, time away from the park when you're on the road and spending time, whether it's any of your teammates, sure, in this case, the bullpen collectively. And I do think it was probably sourced from Eddie. And I think when he told the guys about the idea, he said, this will be good as long as I don't have to pay. And then they went forward. So
ended up being a great prank on Taylor Rogers as Belial and Breslow ended up picking up the tab. You guys have never been involved in any of those types of meals, have you?
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Well, you got any good stories?
The old credit card trick, yeah, they pulled on Taylor the other day, and they set him up pretty good where he was a little bit overwhelmed, not only by the fact that his card got picked, but the bill had been extended by a couple thousand dollars. So I think that, Taylor Rogers, whose heart doesn't get beating very fast very often, I think that might have changed that day.
That might have found a way to speed him up a little bit. Let's talk about something. Maybe this is a sign of my age, but you mentioned it earlier, chance to win a series. You don't hear that thrown around a lot anymore, but throughout my last 20 years in the game, you always think about a schedule in terms of series. How important is it, and is that something that you guys still talk about within the coach's office, in the clubhouse, trying to win a series?
Well, hey, we try to win every game,
sure,
but I think you deal with the reality of where you're at in a given series. Whenever you get the first two, you try to get greedy. If you happen to lose the first two, you try to salvage one. And if you split the first two, you try to find a way to win the series. I just think it's one of those little mental things that you understand that over the course of the season, if you keep that mindset and that mentality, it's going to play out well for your overall record.
Paul, when you have 19 games yearly with your own division, you seem to get to know the opposition fairly well. You're going to have Kansas City come back. You're going to, mm-hmm, see Chicago again next week. Detroit and Cleveland will be going to be banging heads again early in the year. Is it more important that you do well in the first series to kind of set the tone to let them know that you're for real?
Well, we struggled with some of these teams in our division last year. There's no question about that. And, the reality is we struggled with everybody for the most part. And coming out of the gates here with as many games as we're playing against the Central, we know that they carry a lot of significance. I think in the 162 games, we play about 78 games against these four clubs. So, if you plan to find a way to stay in this thing and – It's a long way to go, but you better match up fairly well against the teams you're playing consistently, like the guys in our division.
I want to talk a little bit about a guy that kind of went under the fans' radar last year, but seems to just be plugging along and making more and more progress, and that's Jorge Polanco. This kid seems to find a way to put the bat on the ball all the time, has some good at-bats. You talked about it last week.
Sure. Well, you know, I think in his case, he's still a young guy. You know, his first chance to be a regular coming out of spring training. And, you know, we've seen it for a while, Jack. He just doesn't take many poor at-bats, whether it's left-handed or right-handed. He finds a way to usually see a fair amount of pitches. He doesn't panic with two strikes. You know, it's hard to teach that. It's something that he's kind of been gifted with. But, you know, he's been steady. And we're just looking for that continued progress on the defensive side. We all feel that he's going to be a very competitive offensive player.
Now we'll take one final break here. This is the Paul Molitor Show, brought to you by Killebrew Root Beer, made in Minnesota. How memories are created and legends are made. We're back with the Twins manager when we return on your home for Twins baseball. It's the Paul Molitor Show. Chris Atterbury and Jack Morris here in studio. Now, coming up later on today, we've got Inside Twins. Rob Anthony going to kick that off. He drew the short straw. He'll talk with Corey Provis for a half hour, leading into our pregame lineup card, and then on to baseball today between the Twins and the White Sox, Santana and Quintana. And, Paul, I want to talk a little bit about your dugout dynamic. You've got a couple of new faces on your coaching staff, Pickler and Rousen, Jeff Smith. And one common theme coming out of the dugout with your staff is we want to prepare these guys so that once the game starts, we get out of their way and we just want them to play. We want them to kind of just be ball players and free their minds. And I know having a young core, that's not always easy to do. Is that coming along the way you would like to see it come along in the early going?
I think the early signs in that regard have been positive. You know, we've talked a lot in spring training. It's always been that way, but you want to get players to be accountable for part of the preparation. You know, our job as a staff, including our new guys, is to, you know, try to get the teaching done prior to the game, spring training, whatever it might be. And then these guys do their part, and they go out there and they carry out and try to execute the best way that we can. You know, Pickler's done a really nice job with our outfielders throughout camp and early in the season. Rousen, I think our hitters have a lot of confidence in the information they're getting and how to prepare for each and every game. And Jeff Smith, you know, he had a great catching core in camp. We had a really nice group, and as it got down to Jimenez and Castro, there's a high comfort there, and he's doing a good job at first base too. But I think that the whole idea of players feeling confident in their preparation so they can go out there play and we stay out of the way, that's best. Tom Kelly always used to say, keep the manager out of the game, keep the coaches out of the game. We'll help you get there, but when we start playing, you go ahead and take care of business.
Paul, I want to address something that is significantly different from last year. You know, the start last year compared to the first four games this year, night and day difference. And yet, you've talked about it all the time. Players need to have confidence, and winning breeds confidence. I remember your early days in the big leagues, and you were not a guy that, in my opinion, ever had any kind of confidence problem because you came into the big leagues as an impact player when you were young. But yet some guys need to have that constant reinforcement in a positive way to realize that they've not only fit but can win at the big league level. Talk a little bit about what you see different from last year's start and this year's start.
Well, you know, without getting too deep, I think we all understand that from generation to generation, there are different ways that people are shaped in how they think and what they do. You know, I can't really speak too much about myself other than that I had a lot of good veteran players that helped me get through the early stages. I think today's guys, Jack, you know, they're a little bit more vulnerable to the ups and downs. It's always going to be that way to some degree with young guys. Every once in a while you get that special makeup, special tool guy who takes off right from the get-go. But that's the exception. Most of these guys are going to have to, you know, suffer through some growing pains. And, you know, it's easy to either be looking over your shoulder, especially if your team's struggling, wondering how long, what do you got to do to be there. You kind of lose the focus of trying to win games rather than protect your own careers. So that's part of our job, is to try to find and understand when guys are in that position and try to, you know, kind of coax them along a little bit so they can, you know, find that consistency.
Boy, very well said. Today you've got Santana versus Quintana. We've talked a little bit about Irvin and also Quintana. You mentioned some lefties have had success against him. What makes him so good? What is the critical element that separates Quintana from your run-of-the-mill southpaw?
Well, you know, he's one of those guys. He has really good command with his fastball. It plays up. The numbers might not, you know, wow you. I think, you know, 93 will kind of see a lot of that velocity. But he can really pitch into left-handers. I mean, the right-handers, kind of like, we, you know, a guy like Perkins who can live on the inside part of the plate with the righties. And he's got a really good changeup to once he gets you conscious of that ball inside, he can dive that thing away. That little breaking ball, too, that he uses for a chase pitch or maybe a strike early in the count. You know, the lefties, I think, have had pretty good numbers off him, mainly because it takes away that changeup just a little bit. He doesn't throw it as much, and if those guys can stay out there and not pull off the ball, they got a pretty good chance. But he's just a guy who's got good composure. He's got good stuff, and, you know, he seems to get better every year.
Paul, final question from me. I don't think it'd be fair not to talk about what your big man has done this week. Week number one, Miguel Sano has really shown some patience at the plate, taking some walks, going to right field, some things that you got to be happy about.
Well, it was funny. About 10 days before spring training, I told him I was going to try to get him some extra at-bats because I thought he could use them. And he said, you know, I know I'm not hitting too well, but don't worry, I'll be ready. And I don't know if that gave me a lot of confidence, but I think I've been very pleased with how engaged he's been, how he's been kind of maturing into one of our young leaders on this team. And his early play has been good. Like you said, Jack, he's shown a little bit more patience using the whole field. He's got a pretty good idea of what he's trying to do each and every at-bat. And we just want to make sure we can sustain that with him. You know, keep that type of focus, and there's no question he's going to be a huge impact.
Great stuff, Paul. We appreciate the conversation as always. Good luck today.
Okay, guys. Have a good Sunday, man.
All right, Paul.
I'll see you.
Yep. All right, Jack, we got about 15 seconds, 30 seconds key for the Twins to win the series today in Chicago. What are you watching?
Irvin Santana, if he can repeat what he did on opening day, you know, the Twins need to play solid defense. They need to do that every day. But Irvin has the chance to take the ball and control the outcome.
Made in Minnesota. It's how memories are created and legends are made.
This has been a presentation of the Treasure Island Baseball Network.